Tonight, Tropical Storm Claudette slams the Gulf Coast. The storm drenching the southeast, rain falling as fast as 2 inches per hour, sparking dangerous flash flooding. Tornadoes reported in 3 states, one touching down near Alabama's border with Florida, damaging dozens of homes. The storm weakening as it moves inland, as extreme weather impacts much of the country, including record heat and fire danger continuing out west. Rob Marciano is standing by. The urgent manhunt for an accused killer. Authorities believe he's behind a violent crime spree in Oregon that left at least 3 people dead. Police blocking off major roadways in the area and warning tonight he is armed and dangerous. The Delta variant now confirmed in 46 states and the growing concern it will continue to spread as vaccination rates slow down across the country. Bus crash horror. At least 3 dead after a head-on collision between an SUV and a transit bus with more than 30 people on board. At least 1 victim airlifted to the hospital. The deputy under investigation tonight after video appears to show him kicking a suspect in the head. What authorities say led up to the violent arrest. Decision day in Iran. The hardliner and close ally of the Ayatollah elected as the country's next president. What the crucial vote could mean for the U.S. Martha Raddatz on the ground in Tehran. Celebrating freedom as the country marks the first Juneteenth as a national holiday. The marches and events held today across the country, including 94-year-old activist Opal Lee doing her annual 2.5-mile walk. And dancing with Dad on the eve of Father's Day, the one father who would not let anything stop him from dancing with his daughter on her wedding day.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. We begin tonight with much of the country in the grips of extreme weather. Millions of people on the Gulf Coast feeling the impact of Tropical Storm Claudette battering the region after making landfall. Multiple reported tornadoes in its wake. You see here a twister tearing through this Alabama neighborhood, leaving a path of destruction. Claudette dumping a massive amount of rain as well, up to 10 inches on Slidell, Louisiana, and homes in Kill, Mississippi, surrounded by water. In the West, a brutal heat wave is making drought conditions even worse, already sparking fires like this one in southwestern Utah. Meteorologist Rob Marciano taking us through all of it tonight in just a moment. But we start back in the Gulf, where Claudette has moved inland, weakening to a tropical depression. ABC's Elwin Lopez leads us off.
Tonight, Claudette's damaging winds and heavy rain is spreading inland. Rain falling as fast as 2 inches per hour. Dangerous flash flooding along the Gulf Coast. Water surrounding homes in Hancock County, Mississippi. More than 10 inches of rain. About 20 people rescued.
Fire was in my truck and I was standing beside my truck.
So the water came up to here?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Including Terrence Ladner and his family, forced to abandon their flooded home before dawn, seeking shelter in his truck bed until help could arrive.
You lost everything inside.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much bed, clothes, you name it.
But you're just grateful to be alive.
I'm grateful to be alive.
And east of here in Alabama.
Need to be in the most interior part of your household, away from windows. If you're 2 stories, get on your first story.
A tornado tearing through Escambia County, Alabama, damaging or destroying at least 50 homes, including Donna Kuznos.
Well, I'm 76 years old, lived a long time. I've never seen anything like this one. That was pretty bad.
She, her granddaughter, and 5 pets, all making it out safely.
And wet here in the southernmost county of Mississippi, low-lying streets like this one is still flooded. Officials tell me they're working around the clock to help people here. Wet.
And we can see from your shot they still have a lot of work to do. Elwin, thank you. You and the team stay safe out there. So let's bring in ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. And Rob, we know Claudette is weakening, but where is the system heading right now?
Well, it's really spreading out. It's already into the Carolinas. The center of it's over the Mississippi-Alabama border. You see it here on the radar scope. We still have flood watches out and tornado watch until at least 8 o'clock tonight. And we see that that's been a hallmark of this with damaging storms in Alabama. As it tracks to the east and to the Carolinas, actually will strengthen by Sunday night into Monday morning across North Carolina. We're also watching the severe weather threat. We've had tornadoes touch down in some spots, and that will continue to be the case overnight tonight and in through the day tomorrow and through parts of the Ohio River Valley. So two things we're watching here, Whit.
And Rob, we also want to ask you about the oppressive heat out west and the worsening drought sparking wildfires in several states. What are you tracking on that tonight?
it just doesn't want to end, although we will see some cooling this week. Today and tomorrow continues to be excessive heat, and we have warnings that continue to be up across California and several states, and those red flag warnings with dangerous fire conditions, that's going to hamper firefighting efforts for sure. Whit?
All right, Rob, we know you'll be on top of it. Thank you. We turn now to Oregon, where authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage. Police in the North Bend area say the man may be responsible for the deaths of at least three people at different locations. Tonight, they're calling him armed and dangerous. Here's ABC's Zareen Shah.
Tonight, an urgent manhunt underway in Oregon for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree. Officials releasing these images saying the suspect is armed and dangerous. Police believe the rampage started when the man allegedly ran over a couple with a white Dodge pickup truck at an RV campground in North Bend Friday morning. 74-year-old Anthony Oyster killed, his 73-year-old wife Linda in critical condition. Police finding another man dead in his trailer. Minutes later, authorities responding to a shooting at a marijuana dispensary where police found 47-year-old Jennifer Davidson dead. Tonight, officers frantically trying to identify the suspect and the motive. Police blocking off major roads in the hunt for the killer, eventually finding the pickup on a nearby highway crashed and set on fire. Officers say the suspect purchasing more ammo before vanishing.
We have a witness that indicates that the person that was driving this pickup truck got out of the truck, appeared to be armed with a handgun, and then disappeared or ran into the woods or the brush nearby.
Zareen Shah is joining us now. And Zareen, authorities desperately trying to track the suspect down tonight. You're learning more about the investigation.
That's right. With police warning anyone who sees the suspect to stay far away and call 911 immediately. They also don't know if he had any connection to the victims before this attack. Whit?
All right, Zareen, thank you. Now to the pandemic and the push to vaccinate young people as cases surge of the dangerous Delta variant. Officials say they are seeing more severe cases in places where vaccination rates are low. That variant, which was first detected in India, has now been tracked in most of the country. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, the Delta variant now detected in at least 46 states and expected to accelerate.
We know that the Delta variant is even more transmissible than the UK variant, and I anticipate that will be the predominant variant in the months ahead.
And it's already sinking its teeth into under-vaccinated areas like Southwest Missouri, where Cox Health says the Delta variant now makes up 90% of their new cases.
The patients are younger and they're sicker. They're coming in later in the disease process, so we often have less therapies that are available for them.
With the vaccination rate slowing and the country no longer on pace to meet President Biden's goal of 70% of adults with at least one shot by July 4th, health officials are now trying to meet people where they are. In Ohio, this pop-up clinic at an Akron transit station brought doses directly to holdouts like James Crumbley.
What brought me here, I had to catch the bus to the other side of town. I ain't know nothing about this.
But tonight, five states with lower than average vaccination rates have seen cases climb significantly over the past 2 weeks. Arkansas up 74%.
You can see more people getting vaccinated whenever they see the risk increased. We've got to get everybody not just partially vaccinated, but fully vaccinated.
Kendrick Nooner learned that lesson the hard way. He was reluctant to get the vaccine, then got infected on his honeymoon in Arizona. He's now in the hospital.
I would encourage people to try to research it out and then see if I get the vaccine. Just with what I've been through, you know, over the last 10 days or so, I most definitely will.
A reminder, people still feeling the impact from this virus. Trevor Ault is joining us here in New York. And Trevor, there is concern we've been talking about, the Delta variant, especially in areas with low vaccination rates. But nationally, we are still heading in the right direction with cases falling.
That's right, Whit. America's average caseload has continued to fall down to about 11,400 a day now. And Dr. Fauci has said repeatedly the target should be 10,000 a day or fewer. This is the closest we have been to that since the first days of the pandemic. Whit.
Progress still a ways to go, though. Trevor, thank you. Now, a horrific scene in South Carolina. A transit bus and SUV colliding head-on. At least three people dead. Many more taken to the hospital. One by helicopter. Here's ABC's Alex Prochet.
Tonight, an investigation into what caused this deadly bus crash in South Carolina.
Reported motor vehicle accident around Ferry Road and Frank Williams Drive.
Just after 7 this morning, a southbound Williamsburg County transit bus colliding head-on with an SUV.
Got a head-on collision, bus versus SUV. SUV's on fire currently.
That SUV, so mangled, it's barely recognizable now. Both people inside killed. Another person on board the bus died as well. First responders say in all, 35 people were on board that bus, including the driver. Most were transported to the hospital. One had to be airlifted. The local sheriff's office says this bus in particular often transports hospitality workers to and from Myrtle Beach.
Witt, and tonight investigators are working through that wreckage to see exactly what went wrong. A similar crash between a Williamsburg County transit bus and a car happened on that same road just 2 years ago. Witt?
All right, Alex, thank you. Now to Iran and a presidential election that could have a significant impact on relations with the U.S. A hardliner, Ibrahim Raisi, winning in a landslide, taking 62% of the vote. And he's voiced support for rejoining nuclear talks with the United States. ABC's chief global affairs anchor, Martha Raddatz, is in Iran tonight.
Tonight, celebration and fireworks in Tehran for the supporters of Iran's new president, Ibrahim Raisi, under U.S. sanctions for human rights abuses and a favorite of Iran's supreme leader. His victory considered a given, but some 52% of eligible voters stayed home more than any time in the history of presidential elections since Iran's 1979 revolution. At a park on the outskirts of Tehran tonight, we spoke to a young skating instructor who boycotted the vote. The 24-year-old said her vote would not have counted. But Raisi's supporters hope the new president will boost the economy, crippled by sanctions after Donald Trump pulled out of the 2015 nuclear deal, a deal Joe Biden would like to revive, possibly with added restrictions. Raisi, like the Ayatollah, supported the original 2015 deal. Tonight, President-elect Raisi is promising a prosperous and revolutionary government. But if he doesn't sign on to a new nuclear deal, that will be a hard promise to keep. Witt?
Martha Raddatz in Tehran. Thank you. Today marks the first Juneteenth since it was officially made a federal holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. 94-year-old Opal Lee, the grandmother of Juneteenth, as she's known, walking 2.5 miles, representing the 2.5 years it took for word of freedom to reach enslaved people in Galveston, Texas. Today, parades and celebrations across the country and renewed calls for equality for all. Here's ABC's Marcus Moore in Galveston.
Tonight, a weekend of celebrations and reflection with communities across the U.S. marking Juneteenth as a national holiday for the first time. From New York City
Unity!
To Central Florida, where families took to the streets in a half-mile walk for peace. It is here in Galveston, Texas, where the Juneteenth celebration began. 156 years ago today, Union troops freed the last enslaved African Americans who were unaware the Emancipation Proclamation had been declared until 2.5 years after it was issued because there were not enough Union soldiers to enforce the order. All of these years later, that past is driving hope for the future.
What do you hope this will mean beyond this celebration today?
Beyond the celebration, I'm hoping more people come unified, that we're allowed to be everybody inclusive, that it just doesn't stop by a signing of a bill. But at the end of the day, we still get out to register to vote, we still stay active, we still do our part in the community.
In Central Texas, crowds joining Opal Lee, affectionately known as the grandmother of the Juneteenth movement, during her annual walk.
We're going to continue to make this the best place in the whole wide world.
And in Brooklyn, New York, this sculpture of George Floyd unveiled, Juneteenth significance gaining national attention amid the protest and unrest following his killing.
I hope it will prompt constituents, residents, and passersby to continue to organize, to mobilize, to march, and to educate with the goal of enacting change. We could do no greater honor to George Floyd and his memory.
Today, President Biden echoing that fight is far from over, tweeting, Juneteenth marks both the long, hard night of slavery and subjugation, and the promise of that brighter morning to come. Today and every day, we must work to ensure our nation finally lives up to its promise of equality for all.
And Whit, this is a huge day for people here in Galveston, and there's a real sense of validation. And something else of significance is there was a time that some here in Texas, blacks were not allowed to celebrate Juneteenth. So some saved their money so they could buy land so they could legally mark this day. And Whit, for it now to be observed nationwide is significant for so many people here.
Sure is a historic day, and that recognition a long time in the making. Marcus Moore for us there in Galveston. Thank you so much. There's a lot more ahead tonight on World News This Saturday. The latest on the search for a 5-year-old girl who has been missing since Tuesday. The agency is now joining that search. And the deputy under investigation tonight after this video appears to show him kicking a suspect in the head while on the ground. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, a California deputy is under investigation after a violent arrest caught on camera, and we warn you, it is difficult to watch. Authorities investigating this video here, first obtained by TMZ, appearing to show a deputy kicking a man in the head while he was on the ground. Authorities say the suspect was wanted for several traffic violations and fleeing from police and received medical care before his booking. The search intensifying tonight for a missing 5-year-old girl. Summer Wells was last seen outside of her home in Hawkins County, Tennessee on Tuesday. More than 40 agencies are now combing a nearly 1,000-acre radius that includes rough terrain. The FBI, local dive teams, and extreme terrain teams have all joined in that search. To the index now in the search for suspects after a shooting in broad daylight here in New York City. The NYPD releasing this surveillance video showing those dramatic moments. You can see the suspects firing into a vehicle in Brooklyn just after 7 in the morning. The cars attempted to block in the 19-year-old driver before he pulled onto a curb and crashed. The victim inside the car was not seriously injured. A pickup truck slamming into a group of bicyclists in Sholo, Arizona. At least 6 people hospitalized, including 4 in critical condition. At least 2 other people suffered minor injuries. The driver was then shot by police as he attempted to flee on foot. He's in stable condition. No word on what caused the crash. And the First Family's beloved dog, Champ, has died. President Biden and the First Lady said in a statement the German Shepherd died peacefully at home, calling him their cherished and constant companion. The Bidens got Champ as a puppy back in 2008, shortly before moving into the Vice President's official residence. Finally tonight, on the eve of Father's Day, the one dad who would not let anything stop him from that father-daughter dance.
Newlywed Tanea Snyder of Tucson, Arizona, never had to look far to find her role model.
Every little girl says that her dad is her hero, but my dad really, truly is. He's a hero for a lot of people.
Her dad, Dennis, a firefighter for more than 30 years. He was there at Ground Zero in New York after 9/11. And for the last 15 years, he's been bravely battling a rare form of ALS.
He has had ALS for over half of my life, since I was 12 years old.
But on her wedding day, nothing would keep Dad from the dance floor. Tanea perched right on top of Dad's motorized wheelchair, the two sharing a father-daughter dance to Sweet Child of Mine.
We both came up with the same song, which was really perfect because it was a song that I had listened to a lot with my dad when I was young.
Her brother Dakota capturing and sharing the joyous moment, writing, "There wasn't a dry eye in the building. I think my dad's face says it all." Groom Anthony Sanchez says his new father-in-law sets a high bar.
It was just a privilege to watch. And then I had to follow that up, and there was no following up that dance. It was just too special.
And on this Father's Day weekend, Tanea sharing with all of us some important wedding day wisdom from her dad.
One of the things that he told us on our wedding night, his speech, was to look around and feel the love. I think that that's the message that we want everybody to take away. Love the people in your lives, because love really is all that matters.
What a message, and what a dad. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. I'll see you on GMA in the morning. Lindsay Davis right back here tomorrow night. Have a great night.